From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Mexicans will go to the polls in 3 weeks to pick their nation's president. The latest survey shows a wide lead for left-leaning candidate Andrés Manuel López Obrador, former mayor of Mexico City and 2006 presidential candidate. More than 40% of those polled said they would pick Obrador, with his main rival trailing at about 21%. But violence mars the July 1st election with the fatal shooting death of Fernando Purón last Friday. Purón was a congressional candidate in the Mexican border city of Piedras Negras and became the 112th politician killed in Mexico since last fall. The elections come at a time of heightened tensions between the U.S. and Mexico as well. In addition to his provocative rhetoric on the border wall, U.S. President Donald Trump announced stiff tariffs on Mexican imports to the U.S. We turn today to Fausto Reyes, a socialist member of the Revolutionary Workers' Party of Mexico and a founding member of the Mexican chapter of Science for the People. Joining him is Hector Agredano, a professor of geography at Pasadena City College. He writes on Mexican politics for the Socialist Worker and has organized Reyes' speaking tour. He's going to be helping us interpret Reyes' answers in English. Welcome to the program, Fausto and Hector.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Finale.
So first, let's start with what you make of Obrador, this candidate who's been described as left-leaning all the way to incredibly radical left, as well as his own description of center-left. It's not necessarily clear where Obrador stands, but he looks like he's going to win the election. What is your opinion of him and his politics?
Un poco complicada la posición que juega Obrador en este momento en las elecciones, porque son elecciones que llegan en un momento importante para el país, en donde se está planteando una posible ruptura del régimen, como también un agotamiento del modelo económico.
So, this is a complicated position that Andrés Manuel López Obrador, AMLO, is playing. These elections come at a very important time when there is a rupture in the country, politically, but also with the economic model.
Y por eso es importante hacer señalamientos si López Obrador o no es o no una posible ruptura o continuidad al modelo. En los últimos meses, Obrador ha pactado con gran parte de la extrema derecha en el país, queriendo votar los derechos de las minorías, de las mujeres, queriendo someter a voto el derecho de decidir sobre su cuerpo.
So, it is an important question to understand if AMLO represents a
left... And by AMLO, of course, yeah, it's Andrés Manuel López Obrador, just for our audience. He's often referred to
correct.
As AMLO.
It's,
go ahead.
It's important to understand if Andrés Manuel represents a rupture or a continuation of the economic model and project currently underway in Mexico. However, some of his alliances are quite alarming. For example, his alliances with the extreme right, a political party, the Partido Encuentro Social, is an evangelical party that has several laws that target women's rights and LGBT groups in Mexico. They are even putting up a woman's right to vote, a woman's right to abortion up for a vote.
Entonces, no hay una posible ruptura. O sea, López Obrador no se encuentra dentro de una posible izquierda radical que pueda cambiar el modelo, sino que lo que va a pasar en estas elecciones, quien va a ir a votar va a ser el hartazgo del nivel de descomposición en el país, no tanto el programa político del Movimiento de Regeneración Nacional, que es el partido de Andrés Manuel López Obrador.
So I argue that there is no rupture and that AMLO is not a candidate of the radical left. What we are really going to see at the polls, though, is people that are so fed up that are going to vote for him, but not because he offers a real alternative, but mostly because they are fed up with the decomposition of the country.
Y en este sentido es importante mencionar la relación bilateral que habrá posterior a las elecciones, ¿no? Que sería entender las posiciones que juega Donald Trump, los intentos de renegociación del NAFTA y también la posible construcción del muro y las políticas antiinmigrantes.
So, in this context, it will be important to follow up after the elections the bilateral relations between the United States and how Donald Trump has introduced the renegotiation of NAFTA, has pushed through a process of a border wall, and also the United States politics towards immigrants.
Interesting. Interestingly enough, Obrador has been touting the fact that he's been meeting with investors as evidence of the fact that he is not really leftist. And one of his representatives who would head his finance ministry, Carlos Urzúa, told Reuters, we are center left. So that seems to confirm your fear. But why is it, Fausto, that Mexicans are so fed up with the current status quo? We know that there's been a lot of violence within Mexico related to continued narco trafficking and the drug lords, a lot of attacks on journalists, a lot of attacks on politicians, but also, of course, I understand people are fed up with the sluggish economy, right?
El hartazgo se da como en múltiples dimensiones, como lo mencionas. La violencia es uno de ellos, pero que también está muy conectado al papel del desarrollo económico del país. Hemos estado discutiendo en estos últimos días el papel que ha jugado el NAFTA en toda la desregulación que se vive hoy en día y como consecuencia la barbarie que está sucediendo en el mismo país.
And so, as you mentioned correctly, right, people are fed up, not just with the levels of violence in the country, the high levels of violence, but also with the economic development model of the country that is anchored by NAFTA. And the barbarism that has taken over the country because of this trade agreement.
Se ha modificado toda la estructura institucional en el país. Se ha desregulado todo sector, ya sea desde el sector agrícola, financiero, productivo. Las inversiones tienen libertad de entrada y de salida. No hay regulación alguna y lo que queda en el país es despojo, pobreza, explotación terrible, también una extracción de recursos que tiene un valor muy alto en los países primermundistas y que en el país prácticamente no queda nada de esa riqueza.
What we have with NAFTA is the an institutional set of reforms that have changed Mexican society around issues like agriculture, for example, or also in foreign investment. There is really no regulation to foreign investment. Investors can come and go as they please. And what we have as a result is this dispossession and poverty in Mexico, especially with the extractivist model that takes out of the country a lot of the mineral riches, but leaves nothing but this dispossession and poverty behind.
Now, Donald Trump had, of course, campaigned in part on a platform of redoing the NAFTA agreement. Unfortunately, we didn't hear very many critiques of NAFTA from the left in the past several decades since it's been in place. We've heard critique of NAFTA from the right, and even though NAFTA is being renegotiated, do you feel that it's going to be renegotiated at all in favor of workers, either in Mexico or the U.S.?
Sería complicado que la renegociación beneficiara a los trabajadores de Estados Unidos o de México. Como mencionaba anteriormente, los saldos y las condiciones de precariedad son muy importantes. En los últimos 30 años de neoliberalismo en México, más del 50% de los 12 millones de migrantes que viven en Estados Unidos han salido, ¿no? Y ahora residen en el país norteamericano.
So it would be very complicated to see NAFTA renegotiated to benefit U.S. or American or U.S. or Mexican workers. What NAFTA has left behind is a lot of precarity in Mexico, to the point that 50% of the 12 million migrants that have left Mexico, that 50% of those have left in the last 30 years.
Y el papel de la violencia que también sucede en el país es importante, ¿no? Hay un... En los últimos 12 años se declara la guerra contra el narcotráfico, una guerra contra el narcotráfico que no termina siendo contra el crimen organizado, no se ha desmantelado ningún cartel, y al contrario, los saldos son terribles, ¿no? Casi 500,000 de asesinatos, cientos de miles de desplazados, las desapariciones forzadas, que no hay cifras reales incluso, los feminicidios, que también es un tema bastante complicado en el país, en América Latina se asesinan a 14 mujeres cada día, 7 de ellas en México.
So, the other aspect of the Mexico-U.S. relationship is the relationship of violence and how the war on drugs, which was initiated in Mexico officially in 2006, has actually not reduced the power of organized crime or cartels. On the contrary, cartels have not been dismantled since the war on drugs began. What we have in this case then is a toll on the country of 500,000 people that have been murdered because of the war on drugs. We have cases of disappearances as well and an increase in femicides. In Latin America, for example, 14 women are disappeared every day, and 7 of those are from Mexico.
Now, Fausto, I know that you've worked with indigenous communities in Mexico, and you mentioned how people are worried about the extractive industries on which the economy is based. What are the concerns of indigenous communities in this coming election on July 1st? Are any of their concerns being addressed by candidates running for office?
No, o sea, creo que en el papel de la violencia, en los grupos indígenas, en la situación de las mujeres, de los grupos LGBT, de un cambio en el modelo económico, no hay nada de eso en las elecciones, ¿no? Como te mencionaba anteriormente, o sea, lo que están saliendo a votar este primero de julio va a ser el hartazgo de la situación en el país, y por eso hemos, con distintos grupos, en específico con el Congreso Nacional Indígena y con distintas organizaciones a nivel nacional, con la consigna de si votes o no votes, organiza.
No, in fact, none of the issues that we've been talking about, for example, levels of violence, violence against women, the rights of indigenous people, the rights of LGBTQ groups, or even changing the economic model, none of that is up for discussion in this upcoming election. And as I've mentioned, what is really going to the polls is people that are so fed up with the situation in the country. And from our perspective, we have been organizing around the National Indigenous Congress. And the slogan that we are pushing is that whether you vote or not, you should continue to organize.
Movimientos de trabajadoras y trabajadores en el país, el movimiento de mujeres que busca la aplicación de las alertas contra la violencia de género y también contra las múltiples violencias machistas, los movimientos juveniles contra la imposición o en solidaridad, los movimientos campesinos e indígenas que también luchan por el territorio y sus recursos, organizaciones de víctimas por justicia y memoria.
So, you know, what we are also working with, right, is the feminist movement, for example, that has been pushing the government to institute what are known as gender violence alerts to address the issues of femicides. We are also working with the youth movement that is organizing against political and economic imposition, as well as with indigenous groups who are fighting to maintain and to keep their resources.
There was a New York Times article recently that pointed out how Trump is not important in the Mexico election because all the candidates are against him. So they seem pretty united on that. And Fausto, I'm wondering what your goal is in touring the United States. You're on a solidarity tour ahead of the election. How important are ties between Americans and Mexicans, Latino Americans in particular, but Americans in general, with residents and citizens of Mexico, given these tensions between our two countries, heads of state?
Y, o sea, como mucho ha pasado históricamente que estas organizaciones y estos movimientos sociales, o sea, muy característico el movimiento migrante, funciona de botín para uno u otro partido y son manejados en función de los intereses electorales. Creo que, bueno, al menos la situación en el país deja como claro un panorama que el voto sí o el voto no, no resuelve las cosas de las personas que sufren el día a día, ¿no?
What we have is, for example, the reason why I'm here, right, is to continue to push our campaign to make sure that people continue to organize beyond beyond Election Day. And in terms of how immigrant rights are treated, the fact is that Mexican politicians use the issue of immigration, right, as part of one of the cards that they play during the electoral campaign. And whether our people vote yes or no, we are arguing that that does not resolve the issues in Mexico and the suffering that leads so many people to migrate.
Y creemos que no solamente es una situación de México, sino, o sea, de todo el mundo. Y también hay una necesidad de estrechar lazos, discutir algunas iniciativas comunes con compañeras y compañeros. En específico, ahora la campaña la tenemos con los compañeros y compañeras del International Socialist Organization, y que hay un montón de cuestiones que se pueden construir, trabajos en solidaridad. Por ejemplo, en la frontera hay un montón de luchas, como la de los jornaleros de San Quintín o las luchas por el agua, y que pueden asociarse, ¿no?
We're here, right, because I also want to make sure I also want to relate that the issue of migration and refugees is not just one affecting Mexico, but it's currently affecting the world. And we're hoping to build solidarity. We're not just working right now with the International Socialist Organization, but we are also trying to build ties and solidarity with other social movements. For example, here at the border, we have the issue of day laborers and agricultural workers in San Quintín, Baja California, or the struggle for water rights in the city of Mexicali.
So let's also talk about the way in which people are going to be organizing between elections, which is what you mentioned as one of your main goals. We have the same problem in the United States, that we tend to focus a lot of work on election organizing, and then between elections rest on our laurels. How strong are grassroots groups in Mexico in their future ability to hold a future President Obrador accountable? What are some of the ways in which he could be pushed further to the left?
Es difícil que Obrador se pliegue a las consignas populares, principalmente porque ha estado pactando con un sector de la clase empresarial y con la misma mafia en el poder que él nombra, ¿no? Pero también, o sea, hay distintas posibilidades, ¿no? Las personas saldrán a votar masivamente y que la defensa del voto popular tiene que ser defendido y también impulsar una agenda progresista que aún queda en el panorama de López Obrador.
It is tough. It is tough for us to think that AMLO is going to stick to and support popular demands, especially because he has been making all of these pacts and alliances with the same mafia in power that he criticizes. Nevertheless, there are many possibilities of how we can continue to organize. Whatever happens, we have to defend the popular vote. We have to defend people's votes in this election. But we also we can also push for a more progressive agenda that is in many ways part of the panorama that is bringing AMLO to power.
What finally, what are some of the positions that you are pushing for that meet the definition of your socialist background? As somebody who identifies as a socialist, what do you want to see happen in countries like Mexico and the United States to have a more socialist form of government?
Pues principalmente, y que era con lo que pensaba también concluir, es qué posibilidades hay para que termine la guerra, ¿no? O sea, las personas no salen solamente a organizarse en el proceso electoral, sino que están organizadas todo el tiempo, ¿no? Ya sea por su territorio, ya sea por sus recursos, ya sea por mejores condiciones laborales, y que eso es lo que se ha estado intentando construir, principio de unidad entre los movimientos y organizaciones. Creo que hay mayores posibilidades de tener acceso a un proceso más democrático y con un mayor equilibrio social de este lado de Estados Unidos. Allá las principales consignas es frenar la guerra, frenar la barbarie, y ya en frenando esta barbarie social, poder pensar qué posibilidades de país queremos, ¿no? Porque principalmente este país ya sucede, ¿no? La cuestión es de que no dejan que sea, y que la barbarie en sí, el asesinato sistemático de la población, tiene una condición de estructurar toda la organización popular que sucede.
So mainly, also to conclude, we believe that there are many possibilities, but the first one in Mexico would be to put an end to all this violence, right? We already have a lot of people working to defend their territory, working to improve their working conditions, and what we are trying to do is to bring all of those movements into unity coalitions. We believe that we also need more democracy in Mexico. What we have in the United States, for example, right? Here we could have more social equality. But in Mexico, what we really need is to stop all this violence and the barbarism. And once we stop all of this barbarism, we can then focus on other questions as well to organize Mexican society.
Well, I want to thank the two of you very much for joining us today. Is there a website that either of you would like to recommend where people can find information as we head into the elections in Mexico July 1st?
Hay distintos momentos. Ahorita estamos lanzando una campaña de ¿Quién sacará México de la barbarie? En donde se plantean 73 preguntas. Y lo que se está buscando es plantear una agenda de lo que se está dispuesto a apoyar y lo que no estamos dispuestas o dispuestos a doblegar, como son los derechos a decidir de las mujeres. Y también están las redes del PRT, que es el www.PartidoRevolucionarioDeLasYLosTrabajadores. Y bueno, es como todo de mi parte. Agradezco mucho la entrevista y el interés.
Well, there are many ways for people to continue to be connected to these struggles. We are starting a campaign that is called 73 Preguntas, 73 Questions, which is a campaign that asks questions to politicians, right, that they should answer relating to impunity and violence in the country. Besides that, you can also look for us online for our political party, Partido Revolucionario de las y los Trabajadores, prt.org.mx. And that's it for me. Thank you.
I want to thank you again, both of you, for joining us. Good luck with the rest of the tour. I've been speaking with Fausto Reyes, a socialist member of the Revolutionary Workers' Party of Mexico and a founding member of the Mexican Chapter of Science for the People. With him, Hector Agredano, a professor of geography at Pasadena City College, writes on Mexican politics for the Socialist Worker, and he organized Reyes' speaking tour here in Los Angeles, where we're speaking. He was also providing interpretation. We've been discussing the upcoming elections in Mexico. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.